listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, Happy New Year! Hey, I'm Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here, and we are just delighted that you're here at Calvary Christian Assembly on a Sunday morning. You glad to be here?
I am.
We missed you guys. We were gone last week. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we were gone, and we missed you. We want to say thank you to everyone in December, especially, who was just so generous. Just a magnificent outpouring of love and an expression. We were able to go down to Sacramento and visit family and let the cousins be with the cousins and just enjoy a little bit of respite. I do want to bring back a good report. A pathology report came back on behalf of my father, and they did get all the cancer when they pulled the prostate. So a huge answer to prayer. I wanted you all to know that. Thank you, intercessors, for believing on his behalf. Now, you're in a new, I bet you want to share this, right? You're in a new devotional study now, and God's kind of put something on your heart for the new year. Why don't you share a little bit of that this morning?
Yeah, for sure. Last year, I did the Bible in a Year using the Bible Project, which is an app, which is the Bible app on my phone. And then I was introduced to another app called Bible in a Year, which is created by Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, who we just saw, who started Alpha. And even if you're a couple days into it, I highly suggest that you get into this Bible reading plan. Last year, the plan I did was solid chunks of like Bible from start to finish, whereas this one, it's different. You're reading some of the Psalms, some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, and there's like this wonderful commentary that Nikki Gumbel provides, and it's been so rich in the couple days I've done it. And so if you're still looking for a devotional plan, some people are kind of afraid of Bible in a Year because it seems intimidating. Don't be. And if you miss a day, hey, guess what? Just make up for it. Big deal. But it's a fantastic plan, and I highly recommend it. It's just been such a rich time with the Lord that I've had thus far.
Yeah, so we're all about one thing here at Calvary. We're all about Jesus. And helping as many people as we possibly can here in Seattle and around the world both find and follow Jesus. That is truly what we're about. Mission Matthew 28, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching all the things that Jesus taught us to be obedient to his word. And so we're all about that, and we're excited to be able to do that here with you. So it all starts in the word. As Pastor Linnea was saying, it all starts by having a daily walk, a moment-by-moment relationship. It's all about relationship with Jesus. Amen? So we'll hear a little bit more about that in the next coming weeks as we teach more together. But if you appreciate my wife, would you just let her know it this morning? Also want to extend a great big thanksgiving and appreciation to all the law enforcement. You know, this last Thursday was the National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Can we put our hands together for those who serve our community here in Seattle and serve us? We're grateful for these people. Well, today we launch into Love Jesus, Love Seattle, a new sermon series here at Calvary. This is week number one in our Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series. This morning we're going to be talking about this. It only gets better from here. Now, you got some notes when you came in this morning. You got some a little fill-in in your bulletin. Do pay attention to that as we go through this. I'm going to move pretty quick this morning. With our limited time, I want to be able to just hit some of these points. As of late, I've been reading through some of the prophets, the different books, the different prophecies in the Old Testament. Those who are new to the faith, the Bible is split in two, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament lately, and everything from Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai is what we're going to be looking at today. Zechariah, Malachi, it goes on. But Haggai, this little two-chapter prophecy, prophetic book we're going to be looking at this morning. It only gets better from here. Our highlight text is Haggai 2:9, and it says this in the New International Version. It says, the glory of this present house, read this with me, will be greater. We're going to try that again because I know that we're all awake in here, but we're going to try that one more time. Let's just read this whole scripture together, can we? Read it with me. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. It goes on to say, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The big idea this morning is in 2020, Jesus wants nothing more than to bless your life with his promised glory. Do you believe that this morning? He wants nothing more than to bless your life with his promised glory. What does that mean? Well, let me say it this way. You have to guess who this person is, okay? You have to guess who I'm telling you about. When I was 7 years old, my family was forced out of our home because of a legal technicality. I had to work to help support my family at age 9. While just a boy, my mother died. At age 22, I lost my job as a store clerk. I wanted to go to law school, but my education wasn't good enough. At 23, I went into debt to become a partner at a small store. 3 years later, my partner died, leaving me a huge debt, which took me years to repay. At 28, after developing a romantic relationship with a young lady for 4 years, I asked her to marry me. She said no. At 37, on my third try, I was finally elected to the United States Congress. 2 years later, I ran again, but failed to be reelected. At that time, I had a nervous breakdown. At 41, adding additional heartache to an already unhappy marriage, my 4-year-old son died. The next year, I ran for land office and I lost. At 45, I ran for Senate and lost. A few years later, I ran for vice presidency and lost. At 49, I ran for Senate again and lost. At 51, I was elected the President of the United States. Who am I? Put the picture up if you can for me. It only gets better from here. Our 16th president of this great nation. It's to his credit that slavery was abolished. It only gets better from here. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace. You see, in the face of setbacks, Haggai, who we're looking at, Haggai's single task as the prophet of the messenger of the Lord, the voice of God, his single task was to get the people to look forward and to rebuild the temple of God. I'm going to give you real quick 3 prophetic themes to build 2020 on. Can we do that this morning? Amen? Haggai's prophetic calling, the first thing we're going to look at. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever procrastinated when facing a problem? Have you? I mean, this time of year is a time all about resolutions and changing things and becoming a better person and moving forward. But have you ever experienced, some of us have already, major procrastination. Procrastination about maybe dealing with a relationship issue, right? That's never easy. Procrastination about going to the gym. Hello? Hello? Procrastination about paying that bill that you know it's just been lolling and it's on its way to collections now at this point. Procrastination about doing what's right. Procrastination in maybe a job. Procrastination about going through the mail. You know, I've learned something. Somebody taught me this years ago. They said, do the hardest things first, because then they're out of the way. And in regards to mail and all that extra clutter and stuff, don't ever have to touch it twice. That's where we get really good at procrastinating, huh? We touch it and then we put it off. Touch it, put it off. Touch it once and be done with it. You know, procrastination, it's in us. It's something that we all struggle with, especially when dealing with problems. How do you deal with problems? I'm reading a book called Crucial Conversations right now. Great book. By Carrie Patterson. And in this book, she says, how do you deal with problems? Number one, we do one of three things. We either avoid them. Number two, we either confront and deal with them poorly. Or number three, we confront and we deal with them well. I've heard it said, a new year won't help you. Making new decisions will. Making new decisions will. God confronts this problematic excuse and procrastination that the people were dealing with in this passage. We're looking at Haggai. It says this, the people procrastinate. They say this isn't the right time. Have you ever blamed it on the timing? Well, if I just had more time, I'd get around to it. Well, this isn't the right time because ... right? We're good about blaming stuff on time. But he says that the people procrastinate. They say it isn't the right time. And then he says, how is it that it's the right time, quote unquote, for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, God's temple, is in ruins? It's not really a time issue, is it? Well, if I just had more time, I'd get to the gym. No, it's not about the... Well, if I had more time, I'd get up in the morning and spend some time with Jesus. No, not necessarily. God's going here and he says, well, how is it that it's the right time for you to... Isn't that interesting? Haggai's message, you'll read. It's two chapters. Go through it in your devotions this week, in your time with the Lord. Read through the book with me again. Haggai's message pulled the people out of a self-preoccupation and got them working with purpose. That was the whole point. We got to look forward. We got to look forward in this thing. We're going to face procrastination dead on, and we're going to deal with it. We're moving forward. And he does it by asking this question. He says, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. God speaks through Haggai. Take a good hard look at your right where you're at. Right, we're starting 2020, second week of a new decade. Take a good hard look. Think it over with me. Can we do that this week? Just think it over. Think of your priorities. Think of the procrastination. Think of the problems that you're already facing or that are facing you, that you're moving forward in this year. It's a call to consider your ways. See, Haggai's prophetic calling still rings loud and true, doesn't it? It's a calling for you. It's a calling for me. He says, consider your ways. Consider your ways in Hebrew is literally, it's translated, set your heart on your ways. Let me ask it this way. Since it's all about heart with Jesus, it's all about heart. It's all about the inward. It's all about heart. Is Christianity, is it a head knowledge to you? Is it all about knowing or is it a heart experience? Because there's a big difference between what I know and what I do. What I think and what I actually comes out of my mouth. What I know I should do and the hitting of snooze in the morning. Of, you see what I'm saying? So like the, where's your, this morning, where's your heart? Think it over. Think your life over. Think of those things you're facing. Where's your heart in the middle of all this? I've learned that prayer is a great way of finding out where your heart is. Spending just a little bit of time with the God who made you. Because contemplative prayer aligns our ways of doing things with God's way of doing things. Did you know that God's characteristic way of working is in quietness and through prayer? Maybe some of us just need to quiet our life. Just move some things out of the way and make some space for Jesus to talk to us. How's your prayer life? Let me ask that. How is your prayer life, Calvary? Dear Seattle, how is your prayer life? Have you had coffee with Jesus lately? Have you spent some time with him just talking with him, just listening to him? Here's some of the best advice I can give anybody. If you will take time to read scripture, if you will take time to pray, there is no part of your life that Jesus won't speak to. It's the best advice I can give anybody. If you'll just take the time. So the prophet says, rebuild the temple. Do it just for me, is what God is saying through Haggai. Rebuild the temple. Do it just for me. Honor me. Who? It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. That's why we're all about mission, Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've taught you. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. Because it's all about him. It's a calling. Haggai's prophetic calling. Can you hear him calling this morning? Can you hear him calling, telling you, hey, listen, set these things right. Set these things in order. Set these things as priority. And you know what? It only gets better from here. Jesus calls us to commit who we are, what we have, and all we do to him. He says, rebuild the temple. He says, build the house. Can I ask you if you're dissatisfied with anything in your life? Can I ask if you're discouraged with anything in your life? Can I ask if you're disinterested with anything in your life? You know, if you read the text, you find out that the older generation was all of those things. Anybody who'd been around a while found themselves really discouraged during this time in history of the start to the rebuilding of the temple. And it's interesting because I look and I focus at the older generation because the older generation had been there. They had been kids during the time of the building of the first temple with Solomon. Now, you've got to understand this if you don't know the history here. Solomon and the way he built the temple was like none other. Read it. 2 Chronicles. Just start reading 2 Chronicles and read about how Solomon built the temple. The rafters, the walls, the door frames, the doors themselves, everything was covered in gold. I mean, just the sheer opulence of how Solomon built. And so you have this older generation in Haggai who are looking back. And they hear Haggai preaching, going, hey, the latter's going to be greater than the former. And they're going, but we don't have what they had. I don't have the means to do what you're saying. And so a month into it, read the Bible, it's there. A month into it, they all gave up. And they all gave up because the older generation had started influencing those under them. And they said, well, you know, back during this time, and they started telling this the glory days, and what happened? Man, everybody goes, well, what's the point? I know what I'm talking about because I do it in my life all the time. I look back, and I can get discouraged real easy because anytime I compare my worst with their best, I lose every time. And so you have this situation in Scripture where they're influencing the younger generation with a negative and skeptical attitude as they didn't have the means, but despite their lack, Haggai stands up. And despite the lack and despite the discouragement, Haggai preached that they still had something that they could give. And this morning, I'm standing up here and I'm telling you, you do too. It only gets better from here. It only gets better from here. Let me read it this way. Let me tell it to you this way. Read you this story in 2 Kings chapter 4. It's about the widow's oil. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband is dead." Now, I don't know what you're going through, but it doesn't get any, I mean, that's hard. I talked to somebody last night who called me, he's on the verge of losing a cousin, went brain dead. Fell on Thursday, don't even know what happened, can't get any answers from doctors, fell on Thursday. Husband found them planted face down in the hospital, on life support right now as you and I are dialoguing about scripture. On life support, right? I mean, that's hard stuff. How's that for starting the new year? This happens to be the same month that this person who fell, her daughter had passed years ago. That's hard. So you have this, now a widow who comes to Elisha the prophet says, "My husband is dead." In other words, I've lost what was nearest and dearest, and I have lack. "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming." If it's not bad enough that she lost her love, now the creditors, now there's debt that they're coming for, and it says the creditors are coming to take my two boys as his slaves. That's hopelessness. That's lack. That's without. That's loss. Elisha replies, he says, "How can I help me? Tell me, dear widow, dear widow, I am so sorry, but tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have to offer in the middle of your lack? What do you have to offer in the middle of your loss?" "Your servant," she says, "your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Think of your situation. What loss have you experienced? What lack are you in the middle of? And your answer is, "I have nothing. I got nothing here today, except ... Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Get as many as you possibly can. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars." Listen to what scripture says. Pour oil into all. She says, "All I have is a little bit of oil." He's saying, go around the neighborhood to everyone you possibly can come in contact with. Get jars. Pour oil into all the jars as each is filled. It's a lot of oil, guys. As each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him and afterwards obediently shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. True story. She kept pouring. When all the jars were full, say full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." Still had more oil. But he replied, "There was not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live," say live, "on what is left." Oh God, it's the beginning of a new year. I can't help but look back and just look at, man, some cool stuff happened. I don't know that this year can match. I don't know that this year is going to be like years past. That's why we call them the glory days, right? I have nothing left except, listen to me. God will bless, God will multiply, God will use whatever comes after your accept. I have nothing except a little bit of education. I have nothing except a little bit of money. I have nothing except a little bit of talent. I have nothing except a little bit of strength. I have nothing except a little bit of energy left. I have nothing except a little bit of hope, a little bit of faith, a little bit of, what do you have a little bit of left in you? God will use that very thing. there's oil in the house. You see, if we went around this morning and began hearing a little bit of everybody's story, there's some oil in the house. It may be a little bit of oil left in your life, but there's something there that God can use. See, this prophetic calling from Haggai goes out today. This prophetic word goes out, and this word is the latter shall be greater. There's oil in the house. There's glory. The present glory will be greater than the former glory. So he says, get to work, all you people. Get to work. And I love this because God favors obedience to his calling. Are you obedient at work? Are you obedient on the road? Are you obedient to those that happen to be over you now that you're working for or working? Are you obedient? God honors obedience, church. This is a big deal. Because the Bible says the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord. Practically speaking, let me say it this way. Scripture says, they're going to put the scripture up there. It says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Let me ask you this. What and where is God calling you to work at? He's calling all of us to build something in our life. He's calling all each and every one of us this morning to build, maybe rebuild something in our life. Get to work, all you people! We live in a big city called Seattle. Get to work. Be a witness. Keep doing the right thing when the wrong thing keeps happening. Come on, there's a little bit of oil this morning. Offer God what little bit you have left, and he'll bless you. So we look at Haggai's prophetic calling. We look at Haggai's prophetic promise. I love this. I love the promise part of this scripture. But let me ask you, have you ever experienced a broken promise? Have you ever experienced a broken relationship or a broken dream or a broken job, a broken situation, a promise that just, you don't even know what happened. It just became a situation of sheer hopelessness, brokenness. I think what makes broken promises the worst and why they feel so bad is because you feel alone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you just found yourself, all of us, you just feel alone. That is I hate that feeling. So Haggai, God's messenger, preached God's message to the people. He says, there's a big job ahead of you. I know some are discouraged because we look back and we go, we compare, and but so we're looking forward in 2020. We're looking this way, and God's messenger, he says to the people, he says, I am with you, God's word. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want to encourage you. God is with you. His promise that he's with you unleashes hope. It's unleashed hope in my life, and I know it's going to unleash hope in your life. Haggai brings the assurance of God's presence. He says it this way. He says, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. He's bringing up the past. He says, hey, since we're looking back, let's look back. Do you remember when God said, my spirit remains among you? Do not fear. Think back. What has Jesus brought you out of, church? Think back with me. What has he brought you out of? What has he saved you from? Well, think back what he's done in your life. How quickly we forget. If you're anything like me, I'm always looking forward. Always, what's next? What's next? I can so easily forget what's happened, what he's brought me out of. What has Jesus brought you out of? You know, he mentions Egypt and he mentions the slavery. And I told you the story about President Lincoln this morning, describing who he was and what he came out of, the process he constantly went through. And and how the abolishing of slavery and now Haggai's looking back and he goes, do you remember how God brought you out of being slaves and how he brought you? I mean, what has he done in your life? He's done some pretty cool stuff, right? My spirit remains among you. What has he brought you out of? What do you need Jesus to bring you out of right now? Like, what are you in right now? And you go, man, I need help. Remember this scripture. Haggai's counterpart. They were in the same time. They were working together. Zechariah says it this way. He says, not by might nor by power. And he's speaking on behalf of God. Zechariah says, not, this is the book right after Haggai. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Do you not remember that he is with you? Let me encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, he is with you. He says it this way. He says, what are you, O mighty mountain? Think of a mountain like an impossibility, something that seemingly is insurmountable, something that is unable to be overcome, something that is seemingly hopeless and discouraging. What are you, O mighty mountain? Think of that thing in your life right now and ask it this question. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Now, who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel was one of those characters in the text that when you read in Haggai, you'll realize he was a governor. He was a leader of the day. He was a person of prominence with authority. He was a person who was in charge. He was a person who God ended up using to help rebuild the rebuilding of the temple. And this person, he's saying, before him, you will become level ground. In other words, it's going to happen in your lifetime. If it's going to happen when this guy's alive, well, I'm alive when he's, it's going to happen. So I'm here to tell you this morning that in the name of Jesus, whatever your mountain is, you will get over it. Because Jesus says, whatever that mountain is, you can tell it, go throw yourself into the ocean, go throw yourself into the sea, which, by the way, Jesus walks on. So look there, O mighty mountain. You are nothing. You are nothing in the presence of Jesus, because what claims to be over your head is really under your feet. So he's encouraging. This is a word of encouragement. He's unleashing to the people the glory of any mountain conquered in your life this morning. The glory of any impossibility overcome comes from the presence of Jesus with you. He's with you. Jesus makes everything better. If you're in the middle of something really difficult right now, did you know what? Invite him in. He's going to make it better. Sometimes life has a way of pushing you down. I know. Sometimes life, listen, I know what I'm talking about this morning, has a way of fabricating frustration and fatigue. Sometimes life has a way of appearing like a mountain. But with Jesus, it only gets better from here. Now hear me out. That doesn't mean it's all going to work out the way you want it to. It means he's with you. Did you hear what I just said? It means the Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. That's a pretty big claim. Is with you. Why can I say that? Because I've experienced him in my life. And listen, if he's done it in my life, he's going to do it in your life. It only gets better from here. In my relationships, it only gets better from here. In my finances, it only gets better from here. In my job, it only gets better from here. With my hopes, it only gets better from here. With my dreams this morning, it only gets better from here. Haggai's preaching and his prophetic word points to Jesus' profound love. And all of this text and all of this scripture that we're looking at, it points to Jesus, because he said the desire of all nations will come. Your desire this morning will come. The desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. Say glory. I will fill this house with glory. Did you know that the temple that they were working on rebuilding, that temple would literally be the very place Jesus himself would visit? So when Haggai's saying the glory of this temple is going to be greater than the glory of Solomon's temple, of the past temple, the glory of this temple, it was literally, he was literally pointing ahead to Jesus. And Jesus was that glory in that temple. This promise didn't end with Haggai. Haggai's prophetic promise didn't end years ago. Haggai's prophetic promise echoed throughout all history for all Seattle today. When he said, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. This morning, your latter days shall be greater than the former. Paul articulates it this way. He says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. What is he saying? It only gets better from here. Haggai said, and in this place I will give peace, speaking on behalf of God. So I can forget the former things. I can look forward to what lies ahead. I can put my hope and put my faith into the fact that the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, because Jesus says, in this place I will give peace. I don't know if you're anything like me, but the one thing I need in my life is peace. Come on, peace on I-5. Hello. Peace in the Starbucks lines. Come on. Peace at work. Come on. Peace in my family. Come on. Peace in my body. Come on. We need peace. Amen? Isaiah declared Jesus' glory and his peace too when he says, his name shall be called. He points to Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, along with Jesus comes great peace over your situation. Here's our memory verse this week. I love it. So simple. I am with you always. I want to speak to your situation right now and your circumstance you're in. Jesus is with you. His Spirit is with you. So we look at Haggai's prophetic calling. We look at Haggai's prophetic promise, which remains true. We look at Haggai's prophetic blessing. It only gets better from here. Listen to this blessing. He begins by saying, think back. God says, give careful thought and consider how things were. Think back to 2019. Think back to 2018. Think back. Want to think back? Let's think back. Let's really think. Think back. Maybe we don't even have to think back that far. Maybe we just think back this morning. Think back a few hours ago. Why contemplate? Why think? Why stop and give space to this in our life? Because here's why. Because I found out self-awareness is most essential for health and wholeness to move forward. See, some of us have been running from that a long time. Come on, I know. Pastor Ryan, you're being a little too direct. I know, but I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. There's some things some of us need to just push the pause button and we need to think back and we need to get a hold of in our life. There's some stuff we've been running from a long time. But then God says, now think ahead. Give careful thought and consider how things are going to be. So how were they? Maybe perhaps without Jesus. Now think ahead. Now that you have Jesus, now that you have hope, think ahead of what's going to come. Think ahead. And he says this. Here's why I want you to think ahead. He says, because from this day on, I will bless you. This is the relationship piece of everything we do here at Calvary. From this day forward, from right now forward. And you've thought back, you've thought ahead, but right now, you've heard that quote, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift. That's why it's called the present. I think the greatest thing Jesus gives us is right now. What a gift of right now, because right now, he says, from this moment, from this day forward, I will bless you. Did you know the heart of God is to bless you? The heart of God is to bless me. Thank you, Jesus. The heart of God is to bless us. The heart of God is to bless Seattle. It's his blessing. It's the same blessing he gave Abraham. He said, I will bless you and you will be a, say blessing, blessing. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. What is that saying? It's saying that we're blessed to be a blessing. I'm not just blessed to just take it all for me, myself, and I. We are blessed to be a blessing in Seattle and the world. I want to encourage you this morning in this Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series to make the work of helping people your utmost priority. People matter to Jesus. Do they matter to you? Come on, these are questions we have. These are some of those self-awareness questions we have to get a hold of in our life. If we're going to move forward and we're going to do it with the blessing of the Lord, come on, do we see people as objects of frustration? Come on. Or do we see people as someone to love? Are people that disagree with me objects of frustration, or are they people that I can love? Come on, are people who oppose me objects of frustration that I write off and judge and I think of no more? An annoyance, somebody who's in my way, or are they people that I see with the eyes of compassion Jesus has to love? Listen, I've learned that. And we're all in this together, mind you. But can I encourage you this morning, church, that when you turn from selfish ambition and personal agenda to focus on advancing Jesus, he will advance you. He says this, I will make you, Zerubbabel, like my signet ring. There's that ring of that political leader. He says, I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you. Now, your mind can go a million different ways when you read a scripture like that. But this morning, let the scripture read you. Come on, let it read you where God is saying, I have chosen you. Blessed and highly favored. Zerubbabel's name is recorded in scripture. And what does it do? His name points to Jesus. If you don't know this, this is really cool. Zerubbabel. He was a sign in the genealogies of Jesus. You can read it, jot it down in your notes. Matthew chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Luke chapter 3, verse 27. Zerubbabel's name is recorded in Scripture. So when God said, I will make you, Zerubbabel, like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, Zerubbabel is literally pointing to Jesus, the Savior, the glory of the temple, the greater in the latter. Zerubbabel is literally pointing to Jesus. Did you know that your story, your life, your narrative, who you are, points to a God who's bigger than you? Points to Jesus? That's why Paul said, and we, you and I, who are with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. There's those words again. Glory, Lord, Spirit. What is he saying? You know, Paul articulates, he says that we're the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. So we've been talking about an actual physical temple that was prophesied over and built in the days of Haggai, and we've been talking about an actual space. This is like this, an actual space. What a beautiful building that we're blessed with, right? To be able to do ministry in and to help people find and follow Jesus. But it goes beyond. You don't have to come here on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you don't have to come into this place to experience God's presence. Why? Because Paul said, you're the temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when he says, you and I with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, what is he saying? It's almost as if he's echoing the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace. What a powerful promise that we have today. Amen? Your life story points others to Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning to take the veil of discouragement off. I want to encourage you this morning with Haggai's prophetic blessing. It's time to start seeing yourself as Jesus sees you. That's abundantly blessed. That's his glory. That's his provision. That's his peace. That's his joy. You're abundantly blessed because the Bible says God is able to bless you abundantly. Say, I'm blessed. So that in all things, that's a lot of stuff's going to happen this year. A lot of stuff's going to happen today, this week alone. In all things, at all times, having all that you need, church, you will abound in every good work. That is my prayer over you. That is my blessing over you. Like President Lincoln's story, it only gets better from here. Come on, this morning. Like Haggai stood up and preached and prophesied, it only gets better from here. It's only going to get better from here. Your year, you're off to a great, listen, I don't know if anybody's told you, but you're off to a great start. Come on. Would you stand with me this morning? It only gets better from here. What a message of hope that the Lord has given. What an amazing promise that he's given us. That with 70 to 80 missionaries that we support every single month, it only gets better from here. Come on. Is there faith in the house this morning? What a blessing to look back and to go, man, 8 water baptisms last year. But you know what? It's only going to get better from here. What a cool thing to be able to say 98 decisions in 2019 were made. 98 decisions. Did you hear what I just said? To follow Jesus. But how cool to look at that and go, hey, but it only gets better from here. The glory, the presence of the Lord is going to be greater in the days to come than they have been in the past. What a cool thing to look back and go, man, 300 Jesus Loves Seattle homeless hope bags were put together and were distributed all over Seattle. But looking forward, it's only going to get better from here. What a cool thing to look back and say, man, we adopted 2 schools. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not. We adopted 2 schools to partner with them, to help mentor and be there every week and unleash hope at however we can. We've had people call and ask for help because of homelessness and call and ask for help because of distraught situations. What a cool thing to say, we've adopted 2 schools, but you know what? It only gets better from here. It's what Love Jesus, Love Seattle is all about. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I want to give an opportunity and just extend an invitation. This isn't my invitation this morning. This is an invitation from God. After a message like this today, what the Lord has given me, when it's all said and done, I want to give you, and that's Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. And I know men, women, boys, and girls who don't have hope, or who don't have peace or joy, or who are discouraged, like the text we were talking about this morning, and don't even really know how to build or what to build or how to look forward. Or you can hear a preacher get all excited about the glory of God and the hope, and you just, that's not your story, but it's, wow, you felt something this morning, and you want that. You want hope. You want joy. You want peace in your house. Come on. No, men, women, boys, and girls who don't have that will spend an entire lifetime trying to find it in anything and everything. I know what I'm talking about, friends, because I've done it in my life. I've looked a lot of places, and you know what? The only place that I truly found hope, that I was filled with joy and filled with peace, was in my relationship with Jesus. This morning, if you want to follow Jesus with me and respond to God's invitation, at the count of 3, and I only ask you to raise your hand because that's so I can know who to pray for. At the count of 3, would you raise your hand? And I want to say just a prayer of decision with you that says, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to him, and I believe that there's hope with Jesus. I want his joy. I want his peace. I want the latter to be greater than the former. I have faith and hope in Jesus this morning. If that's you, just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, good. I see hands. Yep. Any others? Yep, good. Thank you. Any others? Any others upstairs? Yep. Good. Awesome. Well, let's pray. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please forgive me of my sins, all my mistakes of yesterday, and help me to live wholeheartedly for you. I'm calling out for help, Lord Jesus, because you said anyone who calls for help gets help. So come into my heart, God. I love you. I promise to do my best, Lord, live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I want to pray for all of us. If you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing this morning. God, I just ask over this amazing church, Father, that you would give us your peace this year, that we could start this year off walking in your glory, walking in your presence, walking in your word, walking in relationship with you. Help us to not be ahead of you. Help us to not lag behind, but help us, God, to walk hand in hand with you day by day. Jesus, all we want is what you want us to want. So my prayer of blessing, Lord God Almighty, over this great congregation is may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And may the God of hope, I pray, Calvary, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you receive it this morning, would you just say amen?